Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hey, we got a great guest on for today, but he's going to come back because he's got to do a TV show. I love this man. He is my comedy hero. And that man is Alan Y. Bell, an original Saturday Night Live writer who wrote the New York Times says has earned a place in the pantheon of American pop culture. He's won multiple Emmy, Writers Guild of America, TV Critic Awards for his work on television, including The Gary Shandling Show, Monk, PBS, Great Performances, and Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's only got a couple of minutes that he can give us today, but he's going to come on, run into a TV show, and I'm going to talk about him the whole time, and I've got some excerpts from him. And let's welcome Alan Y. Bell. Alan.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi. Sorry about the mix-up, Alan, but I'm going to have you Alan Y. Bell Part 2. And,
good.
And I have some, I've got enough tapes here of some of your wonderful quotes from YouTube, and we're going to talk about you after you leave to go to your show. The chat room is open. Betty Jo Tucker, another radio show, is listening right now, and Rudy Keisley is listening. So, Alan, tell us about what you're working on right now.
As we speak?
As we speak, and then I'm going to backtrack when you leave.
Okay. Well, Dave Barry and I just wrote a novel that's out there called Lunatics, and we just came off a book tour, and Universal bought the movie rights to it with Steve Carell attached as one of the leads.
Awesome.
So Dave and I, right as we speak, Dave and I are working on the outline that which we're going to give into Universal this very, very afternoon, as a matter of fact.
That is terrific. And actually, I have a Dave connection because I interviewed Sam Barry, his brother.
Hey, look at that. That's his brother, right?
That's his brother on the show. Yeah. And also, Dave is in a band with Stephen King, isn't he?
Well, I actually sang backup with this. They're called the Rock Bottom,
Remainders.
And
did?
It's all
awesome.
Authors. Well, it's Stephen King and Mitch Albom and
Amy Tan.
Yeah, sure. And
I got to find that clip for next time. I'll play it on
Carl
the show.
Carl Hyacin is in it, and Roy Blunt Jr. And it's I sang with them back up at the Miami Book Fair a couple of years ago.
Oh, I'm going to find that on tape. I wonder if it's online. If I find it online, I think I might have it. What song did you sing? Do you remember?
Oh, you know, they're all songs from the 60s and the 70s. And when Dave asked me to join them, I said, Dave, I don't play an instrument. He said, oh, then you're going to fit in just fine. They pride themselves in not sounding good, but they actually sound really good, and they're fun to be with.
I'm going to ask you this. Was the book, the song You Can't Judge a Book by Its Cover?
Well, what are we talking about now with the song?
The song you sang in. You Can't Judge a Book.
No,
all right, I'll find
it.
But let's talk about you, because I know you got limited time and you're off to do another TV show. You're on a book tour now.
No, I'm not on a book tour.
No?
The book tour, by and large, is over with. I mean, there's still some more TV stuff to do, but I'm calling in from Dayton, Ohio. This is the Irma Bombeck Writers Workshop, and I gave the keynote here last night, and I told them that I would do a local TV show, you know, to promote the conference. It's an all-weekend thing. It goes through Sunday. You know, as far as the book is concerned, yeah, I do. I'm going out and doing speaking engagements here and there, but Dave and I did a three-week book tour in January and the beginning of February, so the majority of that stuff is over with.
And where can they get these books? Amazon?
Amazon, any bookstore. It's called Lunatics.
Lunatics, terrific. And
yeah.
I posted your website. It's on today's thing. They can find it there, too. Your website.
Oh, cool.
So they can go there. And you've got to see, I know you're on a time restraint, and I will talk about you when you go, and then you can listen to everything I've said about you, because I love your work. You started out so early, 76?
Well, Saturday Night Live started in 75, so that was my first job. Before that, I wrote jokes for stand-up comedians for $7 a joke up in
yes,
the Capitol.
Yes, I will be playing that excerpt today.
Oh, wow.
And I found so many great things on you online. You know, you're like 10 pages when you get Google you.
You know something? I've never Googled myself, and I had to rewrite my Wikipedia once or twice because I'd go on some show and somebody would have the Wikipedia, and they would say, oh, do your Marlon Brando impersonation. I go, what? What are you talking about? So I don't know who goes in and writes stuff, but I had to do some damage control a couple of times.
Oh, that's awesome. We've got we've got another writer on the line. She might want to write about you, Rachel Wilgorin. Okay, Rachel, I'll ask. I have a chat room going on while we're talking. But she's a writer. But yes, and I know you're on a time thing. So you've written for TV, you've written film, you've won tons of awards. What do you feel, I got to ask you, is your greatest accomplishment?
Well, I'm very proud of some of the books that I've written. In particular, Bunny Bunny, which is an account, a memoir about me and Gilda Radner, and I adapted that. That was a long-running play in New York. And I have a children's book called Our Tree Named Steve, which seems to have hit a nerve. It's in like 9 languages now. And
wow.
It's hard to pick one thing, but I really, what was very special to me was collaborating with Billy Crystal on 700 Sundays, yeah, which was a Broadway, a Tony Award-winning play that we did, and we're now working on the movie.
And the thing I like about you, Alan, is you are the most unassuming man I've ever met. You are unassuming. I know so many comedians, and everybody, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You're like, you have to ask you to drag it out of you to hear what you're doing. And I know you're working on a Broadway show right now.
Yeah, I'm working on, I'm writing a, actually two, shows, one for Daryl Hammond and another for Lisa Lampanelli.
This is why you're my comedy hero. You don't stop. You don't stop. And not only, it's not that you're like just quiet and unassuming, then if you light up like a light. Well, I saw your interview with Rocco, I can't say his name, Rocco.
Mo Rocco, oh, at the 92nd Street Y. That was fun, wasn't it?
And that interview, when someone asks you, quiet, 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 they ask you, and you go into these beautiful stories about all the people that have touched you and you've worked with, like my hero also, Gilda, and you light up. You just light up. It's like a different Alan, like just stepped into the light. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you, Nancy. No, I've just been very, very lucky, and I appreciate it all. You know, it's been a fun ride.
And you give back to the community, because I know you do a lot of talks and you give advice to young people. Is there something you would give the listeners today, the comedy listeners that you out there?
You know,
advice?
It's funny. I'm at this writers conference here, and last night there was about 450 people, and I spoke for about an hour and a quarter, and then I threw it open to questions and answers, and it's mostly like, you know, how do I get started? And, I want to be a writer. Well, you know, wanting to be a writer is one thing, but actually writing is another, you know.
And I'm going to play that today. I also found an excerpt that you did about how to be a writer and how, you know, what exercise you did, which is wonderful. I can't wait to play that later.
Oh, yeah. When I first started, I made that up myself, where I would, something about where I would,
yes,
at the beginning of every week, yeah.
The
okay,
monologue, I have all that. After, I know you, well, just let me know when you have to go, because you know I will hold you forever,
because
I love
something.
You.
I'm looking at the clock now, so why don't we reschedule for part two?
We're
going to
have Alan Zweibel, ladies and gentlemen, part two, but stay tuned, because I have got more of Alan Zweibel, and more I'm going to, this is going to be, Alan Zweibel, my hero hour, that I'm going to be talking about you. I'm going to dedicate a song a friend of mine wrote to Gilda. It's called My 10 Pierogi Girl. And
cool.
Just, and it's wonderful. And we're going to do a part two, Alan. So you go do that TV show. You're a good man.
I'll do that.
I love you.
I'll bring you in, Nancy, and let's. And next time I'll make sure I call in and not sit around waiting for other things to happen.
Okay.
I screwed up.
No, it's fine, Alan. And we're going to talk about you some more. Everybody in the chat room says hello. Betty Jo Tucker.
Hi, everybody.
And everybody back. Okay, Alan, go do
I'll
TV.
See you soon, Nancy. Okay,
right,
take
bye.
Care. Bye.
What a great guy. So what happened was there was a mix-up because he's traveling. There was a mix-up in the time, but we're going to have Alan Zweibel back on. Meanwhile, Betty Jo Tucker from Real Talk Radio. Love you. Rachel Wilgorin, I always have to say it. Rudy Keisley and guest 844. Alan Zweibel is one of my heroes. We're going to talk about him some more. We're going to play some of his music later. But I want to dedicate my friend Tom Carosa from his CD, Zesty, because he and I were the biggest fans of Gilda Radner. And as you know, Alan and Gilda were close friends, and he wrote a book about her, Bunny Bunny, and he wrote a show about her as well. And what an homage that she lives on years, 50 years later, almost, I'm going to say not 50, I don't want to make us all old, 30 years later, just in the love that everyone had for her. So, Gilda, if you're listening, this one's for you.
Aftermath, just last Sunday, my sweetie pie and I went out to eat. We each ordered a pierogi, four potato, two cheese, and two meat. Hers was gone within an instant. I had eaten six and still had two. Her eyes were full of love and hunger. My ten pierogi girl, she's twice the girl that she once was. I had two surviving pierogies on my dish, wearing cute little onions like a vest. It looked better than I could ever wish, and could lead to cardiac arrest. My mouth was drooling and my taste buds were bursting from the smell of pork. But my baby yearned for my two pierogies, so I pushed them on her plate with my fork. She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, my Polish ray of hope, a living dream. Yes, my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl, she goes good with a spoon of sour cream. She smiled when she finished, what a date. Lots of love went into that meal. Our hearts and our stomachs did inflate, and the gravy on my shirt did congeal. Don't be stingy when it comes to your loved ones. Give them everything you've got without fear. Laugh and give thanks that you found her while you watch your pierogies disappear. She's my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. She eats them fast and doesn't ever gag. Yes, my ten pierogi girl, my ten pierogi girl. I'll never need a doggy bag. I'll never need a doggy bag.
Oh, I love that. That's a Gilda song, isn't it? You just see her dancing to it or just being in the video of it. What an incredible, and their special relationship that they had as friends, and truly just, I'm going to play something in a little while that's, you're going to get a real taste for that. You know, he, Alan Zweibel, he was born in New York, and his sense of humor and just his approach to things, but especially how he enjoys working with comics, and he enjoys taking the back seat, so to speak, and encouraging and helping people develop their comedy. There's not many people like that. You don't find people are like in a me world. He's not. He's in more of a you world, and you know, he's got three kids. He's a father, and it's so sweet. Now, during his 5 years at SNL, from 75 to 80. He wrote many of the sketches, including Samurai for John Belushi, and he helped to create the characters of Roseanne Rosanna Dana, and Emily Lotella. Never mind. And both played by Gilda Radner. And in fact, on Weekend Update, Radner read letters supposedly from Richard Federer of Fort Lee, New Jersey, who in real life was Zweibel's brother-in-law, who did live in Fort Jersey. And, you know, they had such a great friendship and collaboration, and it extended past Saturday Night Live. One of her last appearances, as a matter of fact, was on the It's Gary Shandling show, which Zweibel co-created and produced. And after she passed away, he wrote a best-selling book about their relationship, Bunny Bunny, Gilda Radner, a sort of love story. You can get that on Amazon, too, www.amazon.com and www.alanzweibel.com, just to find out. This man is remarkable what he's doing. And I told him I'd be talking about him the whole time he's gone. So, Alan, if you're listening to this and playing, So many Emmys he's won, so many awards, stage shows. He is just such a nice guy, and a fellow friar, by the way. Oh, gosh, let me just go. I'm going to give you his bibliography, and then I'm going to play some more of Alan. Here's his films: North, Bunny Bunny, The Other Shulman. These are the books. Our Tree Named Steve, Clothing Optional, and Other Ways to Read These Stories. From the Bottom Drawer of Alan Zweibel. And his newest book, Lunatics, which I can't wait to read. Those are just his books. He's got so many awards, I can't even. The WGA, Thurber Prize, Tony Award, Cable Ace, 4 Emmys, 3 for Saturday Night Live, 1 for the Paul Simon special. Oh, my gosh. He's got so many things. I'm trying to think of... What have we got? Television shows, Saturday Night Live, The Beach Boys, It's Okay, Paul Simon Special, Steve Martin's Best Show Ever, The New Show, It's the Gary Shandling Show, The Boys, Saturday Night Live, Good Sports, Please Watch the John Lovett Special, Great Performances, I Am Your Child, Curb Your Enthusiasm, When What Leonard Comes Home To, 56 Primetime Emmy Awards, Monk, Late Show with David Letterman, Women Without Men. It's, you know, and that's why I wanted to have him on the show, because I wanted people to know about this very, very special man. He's also made numerous appearances, and I have his film somewhere. A lot of Broadway. Broadway, he did Guild Alive and 700 Sundays and Martin Short Fame Becomes Me. Every one of these shows, a big hit, and that is terrific. And so let's play a little bit more. Let me find my Alan clips. I'm so glad I did this today. Okay, let's start with the history of me, which is Alan talking about himself. And he has numerous film credits, which I will find somewhere here. It's just too much to say in one little show. The man's amazing, Alan Zweibel.
I wanted to be a comedy writer. I always did ever since I was a little boy growing up on Long Island, but I was in college and there was no courses, there was no curriculum, there was no way, there was no road to take to become a comedy writer. So I figured, gee, maybe I'll become a lawyer, have something to fall back on. And my grades were okay, but they made me take this test, the law boards, the LSATs. Are you familiar with this test? Which was, they're graded from 200 to 800. If you can write your name, you get a 200. If you're Albert Einstein, you get an 800. If you're me, I got a 390, which reclassified me as a mineral, right away. And I got a 390. I went home to Long Island, told my Jewish parents that I got a 390 on the law boards. And about a week later, this is after they uncovered the mirrors, and and got up from those wooden boxes that they had brought in. My father handed me $1,000, which I then handed to a guy named Stanley Kaplan. You know this guy? He's all over. He's got these schools where they teach you how to prepare to take standardized tests. And for 6 months, $1,000, 6 months, I'm there with the earphones on and the number two pencils and taking the old tests and just really focusing on retaking the law boards, which I did 6 months later, where my score catapulted up to a 401. So I figured at that rate, I'd be 90 and my father would be broke by the time I got into an English-speaking law school. So I started writing jokes for Catskill comedians, old comedians who were working the Borscht Belt, the Jewish Alps, called the Catskill Mountains. The Catskill Mountains in the 50s and the 60s were the spawning ground for comedians. I wrote for every Morty, Dickie, Freddie, and Lee that ever lived, okay? I'm 21, they're 50 years old, and they're paying me $7 a joke. That was the rate that I got. $7 a joke. And some of them were just real pains in the ass about it because they'd only pay me if the joke got a laugh. Yeah. So So what I would do is I would get in my parents' car on a Friday or Saturday night, drive from Long Island up to the Catskill Mountains, to the Concord Hotel, to the Neverly, Grossingers, wherever it was. I'd sit in the back of the room, and I'd listen to my jokes being told. And then one of the comedian would come off the stage, and he'd come up to me and he goes, "Boy, you know, that joke about paving the driveway really didn't get a laugh." And I said, "Gee, I heard a laugh." And then we would bargain, and I'd go home with $4, you know. So, you know, I was 21, they're 50, you know, it was like writing for my parents' friends. And there's different sensibilities, and I really didn't want to write for them, but these were the only people that I knew. And I looked around and go, no, I got to change something here. I got to change. And what I did was, there were two clubs in New York at the time. This is in the mid-70s now. It's a Catch a Rising Star and the Improvisation. There were two showcases where the newer breed of comedians at the time were coming through. So what I did was I took all the jokes that these older guys wouldn't buy from me, and I made it up into a stand-up comedy act for myself. And I went to the club, and my plan was to go on stage, deliver the jokes, with the hopes that a manager, an agent, a TV executive, all of whom were hanging out at these clubs now, would like the material and give me a job. The first week that I'm there, I met a guy who was also starting out. His name is Billy Crystal. And he was starting, and we became fast friends. I lived in Woodmere, Long Island with my parents, and he lived in Long Beach, Long Island with his wife and kid. He's more mature than I am, okay? And every night he would take his little blue Volkswagen and pick me up at my parents. By the way, in case it ever comes up in conversation, this is the international symbol for little blue Volkswagen, okay? He would pick me up at my parents' house. We'd go into the city, tell our jokes, and then he would take me home. About 4 months into this experiment, I'm on stage about 1 o'clock in the morning, having the hardest time in the world making these six drunks from Des Moines laugh. I get off the stage, and I'm really upset. It was horrible. I go over to the bar, and I'm hanging my head and waiting for Billy to get done so I can get a ride home. When a guy comes and he sits down next to me and just starts staring at me and staring at me, and finally I go, "What?" He goes, "You know, you're the worst comedian I've ever seen in my life." I said, "I know. Why rub this in like this? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, your material's not bad. Did you write it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I see more of it?" I said, "You bet." I didn't even ask who it was at first, because I would have shown it to like a gardener at this point, okay? Ends up, this guy is Lorne Michaels.
Isn't that a great story? Like I said, he does light up. He's very quiet, and then the man just lights up when he talks about his work or the people he works with. Alan Zweibel is one of those rare people who really, really loves what he's doing. And you could see it. You could see it in his work. And he's a family guy. And it's unusual in this day and age. He said it's so grounded. Got to give thanks to the parents, I get. I did find the list of films he did. His film credits include Dragnet, The Story of Us, and North, which, I'll read you a quote, which so infuriated film critic Roger Ebert that he penned a now-famous review, one line which later served as the title of Ebert's book, "I hated, hated, hated this movie." And Zweibel carries a clipping of the review in his wallet, and he reads it at public appearances. Yes, he does do such a great, great job, and so many TV shows. I mean, I saw Guild Alive. That was a terrific show as well. Don Novella was in it. Very good. That was 1979. And as I said, every one of his shows is a hit. And the fact that you could take a TV actress like Gilda, and who had a lot of improv experience, and put her in a Broadway show and make it a hit, is just a testament to him. And the fact that he's doing my show, that's another testament to him. Now, he also had, let's talk about Gilda Radner. As you know, just one of everybody's favorites. Who doesn't like Gilda? She's wonderful. And Betty Jo, I think you are doing something, a tribute to her, next Tuesday on your show at 4 p.m. on Movie Attic Headquarters. Type that in there if you are talking about Gilda Radner. Okay, George Bettinger's online, the Mom and Pop Shop, every day at 4 p.m., 106 Hot Mix. All right, Let's do a little bit more. This story, I love this story. This is called Alan Zweibel, Gilda's Story. This is terrific. Here it comes.
I'm looking around the room and I see John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and Chevy and Al Franken, and I'm going, oh my God, these guys are really funny. Oh God, what am I going to do? Because now we had everyone had to tell ideas they had for sketches for this new show. So I think I handled it well. In the corner of Lorne's office, there was a potted plant, big potted plant, that I went behind and ducked down. I didn't want to be revealed as a fraud. I knew I couldn't compete with these guys. They were hysterically funny. So the meeting starts, and I'm squatting behind this plant. And the meeting is going on, and people are telling their ideas for sketches, and all of a sudden, I hear from the other side of the plant, I hear a girl say, why are you behind the plant? I said, well, it's roomy. It's roomy back here. And she said, first TV show? I went, yeah. She says, you're pretty nervous, Alan, aren't you? I said, well, yeah. How you know my name is Alan? She said, well, you're the only one wearing a name tag. She said, is there any extra room back there? I went, why? She said, well, because it's my first TV show and I'm really nervous too. So she came behind the potted plant, and now the two of us are squatting back there while this meeting is going on. And that's how I met my buddy Gilda. We left in 1980. I stayed in New York. I married Robin, and Gilda moved to California. We all dispersed, and Gilda and I had the problem of having a long-distance relationship. You know, it's hard to keep even just a friendship, a platonic friendship, alive across a whole country like that, and it got reduced a little bit from phone calls to just Christmas cards, and I stayed here, and I started writing plays and started getting published. And I moved to L.A. Robin and the kids are back here. We had a home in North Caldwell, New Jersey at the time. And I rented a house. And the day I'm moving in, you know, furniture and whatever, Gilda walks in the door, and she's got this housewarming gift for me. She's got this big potted plant. So we put it in the corner of the room. And I just look at her, and I go, you look beautiful, honey. How do you feel? And she said, Zweibel, I just found out I don't have Epstein-Barr virus. I said, that's great. So we can go out and play. She says, I have cancer. I said, what? She said, I have ovarian cancer, Zweibel, and I need you to help me get through this part of my life. And I said, what do I do? She said, make me laugh. And that became my role in my friend Gilda's life when she got sick. She was such a symbol of courage because she was not going to let this disease get the best of her. She appeared everywhere. She would go to a Laker game with she didn't have any hair. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would go up to her and go, I don't have any either. And they would take pictures together. You know, she appeared everywhere. And her mission became to show people that, okay, you've got dealt a weird deck right now. I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to let this get the best of me.
Isn't that a great story? That's terrific. And, you know, to hear him talk, you go online. You can hear more of him, but go to his website, www.alanzweibel.com, and just check out more and go to Amazon. And he's got so many great books out. He is a really good writer. Bunny is such a terrific, I don't know what to call it, love story. And it's the other Shulman is fun. And I just got Clothing Optional, so I'm and other ways to read these stories. And I'm going to get Lunatics next with, just did that with Mr. Barry. So that sounds good too. So it's great when you get people on your show like this. It makes it so special. Very funny guy. Very funny. How are we doing for time? Okay, let's do a little bit more. How are we doing in the chat room there? Betty Jo Tucker, Gilda was an inspiration, yes. And just wonderful. It was like do you remember when Gilda did the scene with Steve Martin where they did the big dance number? It was terrific. Rachel, if you're in there, post. I see you in the chat room. post your site, please. We have a little bit of time in the show yet. What else can I say about this guy? He's my comedy hero. My comedy hero. Next to George Bettinger over there, I see at the Mom and Pop Shop, 106 Hot Mix. All righty, George. Let's see. Well, you know, it's interesting because writing comedy is not easy. I have a little clip of Alan Zweibel here. I'm going to find it for you, where he's doing an interview and he tells the story of how he does write comedy. So I'm going to go that. Here we go.
What I used to do, something that I made up myself. I knew that I wanted to write scripts one day.
Right.
So I used to wake up on a Monday morning, let's say, and go, all right, this week the subject will be buying a car.
Okay.
Monday I would write a monologue as if Jack Benny was delivering a monologue about buying a car.
Oh, how great.
Tuesday, as if Joan Rivers was delivering a monologue about driving a car. Wednesday, Rodney Dangerfield. Thursday, Richard Pryor. And Friday, Alan Kink. Okay.
And this was when you were very young?
I was 21.
Right.
Okay. At the end of the week, I had five monologues about buying a car, but each one with a different sensibility.
Right.
Each one sounded different about the same subject because I knew I wanted to write scripts one day, and I didn't want everybody sounding the same.
Oh, how interesting.
So I try to train the ear that way.
Right.
You know? TV shows, maybe more so today than it was when I was starting out, okay, they're very much star-driven, and a lot of these stars, and you go over the last 10, 15 years, beginning with, not beginning with, but including Gary Shandling and Tim Allen and Jerry Seinfeld and people who've got their own shows, you know, stand-ups, that shows were built around them and their persona. If a writer who's just starting out hangs out at the clubs, you know, and befriends somebody who makes them laugh and vice versa, can start furnishing that person, you know, with material, and
right.
They can start developing a relationship, and everybody gets a turn, it seems. It seems like everybody gets a shot, and the hope would be is when the person you're writing with or writing for gets a shot, you go along for that ride, and you see how far it takes you.
Right.
You know, so that's still a very, very viable way to break in.
Well, there you go. That's a... I learned something from that. That is a terrific way to write. I think that's why, as a comedy person myself, I find that writing for other people is much easier than writing for myself. I'm like, you know, it's so easier for me to step out of myself and be in the other person's head than it is for me, vice versa, to write for me and be in my own head. I don't know why that is. Could be because I'm quite crazy. Hello in the chat room there. Rachel, wake up and put your website on there. George, did you post your website? I can't tell. George Bettinger. So next week, next Tuesday, Betty Jo at Movie Edit Headquarters will be talking about Gilda Radner. I hope you get some clips on there. I know somewhere there must be some YouTubes you can download. If you don't know how, Betty Jo, I'll tell you later how to turn them into MP3s. George, do you write all your stuff, George Bettinger? I don't know. If you're listening, let me know in the chat room there. It's really an interesting process. And like I said, he's such a nice man as well. And what great credits. Please buy all of his books. Go get Lunatics now. And Rudy was the one who was napping. Very funny, Rudy. No, you're just the one who's always being funny. Color Me Crazy, I agree. My CD is available on CD Baby, by the way. Color Me Crazy. Soon to be the cast album. I'm working on that for my next show. Thank you for asking, whatever. The other night, thank you, George, for posting that. The other night, the show at Gotham, I killed. What a great night I had. My first time performing there, first time getting paid there. That was especially special as a comedian writer working on all this stuff. And I have to say, I'll tell you, I'm going to give an example. I've played this before, but I'm going to give an example of how my mind works and creates things. And this piece I'm about to do is totally improvised. The piano player and I did not rehearse it. I just said, play something like that for me. And he did, and it was an amazing night. And the monologue I'm doing to the music was actually just a free flow out of my brain. So you get a little taste of how my brain works. Here we go.
I once dreamed of being chased through a dollhouse by a white lobster that wore glitter and spoke with a French accent. Now, what this meant, I'll never know. But I do know if I told anybody, I'd be labeled a lunatic. And labeled wrongly, my message for the public good. Let's say you're at a party, and you can take out a labeling gun and start tagging people like they do in Wild Kingdom. Wacko. Loser. You're so friendly. That would really be good. But not too friendly like the guys in the office, or your boss who's really nice. Except in an earthquake, you'd really be thinking, he's old. He's slow. I can beat him to the Georgia. Oh, yeah. LA's a jammed up situation. I have enough faults, I wouldn't purposely build my home over one. The one time I was naive enough to think that Panera food was for the elderly. It made sense to me at the time. All those big black and white labels. There's a difference between generic and geriatric. Or did I feel foolish not to be confused with that? But I do think they have a lot to do with each other, since men tend to do a lot of thinking from that area. What all this has to do with nothing is, don't you know? How my brain works and connects things. Like so. So anytime you think I'm crazy, you're probably
like Alan Zweibel, because he does, he comes to mind. I just love, it inspires me when you read this, like, it just like, it tickles the mind. His writing tickles the mind, so to speak. So it makes it fun. He's a great guest, and we're going to have him back on again, so not to fear, because he has some terrific, terrific stories, his life spanning so many people he helps. Got the Broadway show coming up. He's got his book Lunatics. Look for that online. You can get it on Amazon or any bookstore. Look for him touring the country, and he's speaking everywhere. I guess he's available if you want to hire him for public speaking or events. It's such a fun guy to have on the show. How lucky am I? How lucky am I to do what I love to? And Alan Zweibel, thank you for. He had a run to do a TV show, but he got on there for me. And that's special enough. That's special enough with that. How about a little promo for me? Here we go.
Hi, I'm Nancy Lombardo. Would you like to do something special this Christmas? Me too. So this Christmas, instead of sponsoring some silly little third world child, why not sponsor me, Nancy Lombardo, an American? For just pennies a day, barely the cost of a cup of Prozac, you can be my sponsor. Just imagine what your money can do for me. With your help, I can afford new headshots, resumes, voice lessons, demo reels, and the much-needed psychiatric help my friends have been joking about behind my back. Think about it. You can save me, Nancy Lombardo, an American, or some anonymous foreign kid who will probably just grow up to overthrow our government. I think the choice is simple, America. don't you?
Yep, I'm trying to play something here. Okay, my Western that never got done. That was it. Here it comes. My movie waiting to be done. George Bettinger, the Mom and Pop Shop, 106 Hot Mix. All right, every day at 4. Rachel Wilgorn from Nearsay, you never posted your site there. Rachel, I wanted you to plug yourself. Rudy Kisely, as in wisely, thank you for your humor on there. And everyone else who tuned in today for our great guest, Alan Zweibel. We're going to hear more stories when we're going to do Alan Zweibel, Part 2. And what a great fun! I love what the story that he gave about how to write. That was a great little advice for anybody out there. Well, our time is up, and I'm sorry, but we're gonna have to go. Nearsay, you got it, Rachel. Go, girl. My poor friend there with all her broken appendages and typing away here. I'm gonna see if there's anything short I can put on before we go. Thank you all for tuning in. I think we have enough time. Let's see. What can we put in? I don't know. Oh, how about a promo for me? George, by George Bettinger.
Say the secret word and the deck will come down and pay you $1,000. You're listening to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts. Hey, Mo! What is it, Kylie? What is it? I want to listen to Nancy Lombardo on Comedy Concepts. Hello, so the amazing thing, this is Jackie Mason, and you're listening to Comedy Concepts with my good friend Nancy Lombardo right here on the wonderful station on Blog Talk Radio. If you knew it, if you only knew what you were hearing, you'd understand that this is the greatest program a person could ever have, Nancy Lombardo, right here at Comedy Concepts.
Thank you, everyone, and for tuning in, Rudy, Rachel Wilgorin from Nearsay. WWW, so also Ventura Communications. If anybody out there needs a publicist, contact Rachel. There you go. And thank you, everybody. Where's my little? There I go. All right. We're going to go out with a little Irina and Lubov, our favorite Russian maids, singing a song. And thank you. This is Comedy Concepts, Blog Talk Radio, with your host, Nancy Lombardo. And remember, there's going to be an Alan Zweibel part two. Meanwhile, go out and get his book, Lunatics. And remember this.